Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Pop quiz, what does Didymus mean? I mean, it's what Thomas was called. He's one of the apostles, right? So we should know his nickname. Didymus. What does that mean? Well, it comes from the Greek word for two or double. In reference to a person, it means twin. So Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Who was Thomas's twin? Second part of the pop quiz. Do we read that in the Gospels? Do you recall? Who was Thomas's twin?
James.
Good guess, but utterly and completely wrong. The correct answer is you are Thomas's twin. I am Thomas's twin. You see, John in his gospel loves to invite us into it. He does it by referring to himself as the beloved disciple. He doesn't say, and Jesus said to John. He doesn't say, and Jesus said to me. He says, and Jesus said to the beloved disciple. And in that, he's inviting us to put our name there, wherever we see beloved disciple. Well, by calling Thomas the twin, he invites us to be the other half, to be his twins, to share his experience, because in a very real way, we do. How am I the twin of Thomas? How do I share Thomas's experience? Thomas wasn't there, and neither was I. You see, I know that this happened, but I know it by faith in what's been told to me. By my own personal experiences with our Lord, yes. But as for that first Easter, no, I wasn't there. And I don't think any of you are old enough to have been there either. I know that green chili and beans work wonders in extending a life, but 2,000 years, that's overkill. None of you were there. I was not there. Thomas was not there. And yet our Lord was. You see, in today's gospel, we meet the disciples at their weakest. They are locked into a room for fear of persecution. They are confused and scared. They know that their Lord died, and now they're hearing that he's not in the tomb, and they don't know what to believe, and our Lord comes into their midst. And what does he say to them? Does he say, "How dare you run away from me?" Does he say, "Why didn't you believe? Why didn't you persevere? Why didn't you stay with me?" Is that what he says? No. He says, "Peace be with you." And then, as if he knows how difficult it is for us to accept a message of peace, he repeats himself. He says, "Peace be with you." And as he's saying this, he shows the marks in his hands and in his side, and he says, "Look at the length to which I went so that you could have peace. Look at the length to which I went so that we can have peace between us and so that you can have peace among yourselves." The apostles have this incredible experience of the risen Lord, and Thomas wasn't there. And that's where I'm his twin. I wasn't there the first time, but I don't want to miss him when he comes to encounter me a second time. You see, what Thomas teaches us, first of all, is that our faith, when lived in isolation, is impossible. When he was alone, away from the community, he missed the encounter of Jesus. So that's our first thing. As annoying as it is, we were made as a community. And our biggest crosses are the people that we live with, that we love, that we worship with. The people who frustrate us the most are, well, we're all looking at each other right now. And yet, it's in community that God calls us to live, and it's in community that he encounters us. Annoying though our family, our church, our group of friends may be, it's in the midst of the community that God wants to save us. So when Thomas cut himself off from the community, he missed the Lord. But then he comes back and he hears something that's too good to be true. And that is also where I am a twin of Thomas. We often give him a bad rap. We say, oh, Thomas, how could you have doubted? What Thomas is showing us here is that God understands our doubt. He understands that it wasn't just difficult for Thomas 2,000 years ago. It's difficult for us today sometimes. Unless we beg for that gift of faith, faith doesn't always come easily. And if you're in that boat where you come here, but the believing part is a little, you know, it's a little tough. You've got a twin in Thomas. And what does Thomas teach us? First of all, in isolation, our faith is difficult. And so we must gather together in the community of the church. But the second thing, after he heard this news that was too good to be true, he stuck around. With his doubts, with his difficulties, with his questions, with the tension maybe that he had with the other apostles, he stuck around. For a whole week that must have felt like an eternity, he had to listen to their experiences and just take it on faith. Because he hadn't experienced that same thing. And that's where I am a twin of Thomas, and you are too. Because how often is it that we see that someone else has this great closeness to God and we think, am I doing it wrong? Because like when I say those same prayers, I don't feel those same things. When I read that same scripture, every now and then I'm just like, well, cool. Okay, what more is there? We all have those periods in our lives when the prayer just feels really dry. When other people seem to have these great experiences and I feel like I'm missing the boat. And in that, we're with Thomas. But what he shows us is that we persevere through those periods. That we stay with the believing community and beg God for the grace of belief. And then, once we persevere, what happens is our Lord comes to meet us. He comes, and does he mock Thomas? Does he say, how could you have not been here and then not believed? Come on, I'm God. No. He shows him the nail marks in his hands, the mark and the wound in his side. And he says, as you wish. You wanted to touch me, touch me. Know that I'm real. Know that I'm here. Know that I love you. Know the extent to which I would go so that you would believe. And that's what he says to us as well. We've gathered here so that we can encounter him just as truly as Thomas did. We've come here with doubts perhaps just as real as Thomas's were. And yet our Lord comes to meet us just as he did Thomas. Today is also called Divine Mercy Sunday. Because when the world was at one of its darkest hours, our Lord decided to once again appear as a light in the darkness. Think about this. Jesus, he didn't just ascend into heaven 2,000 years ago and say, good luck with this world. It's going to get even crazier, but I'm going to be up in heaven sipping Mai Tais with the saints and God the Father. No, he has constantly accompanied his church ever since. And in the bloodiest century that the world has ever seen, he entered into the epicenter of human suffering, right there in a Europe that was in shambles. Two world wars just rocking the earth. And Jesus appeared there. He should have come with the message of divine wrath. He should have said, I shouldn't have trusted you with this world. Look at what you're doing to one another. You're destroying the globe and everyone on it. But instead, he comes with a message of divine mercy. He says to us, yeah, look at how crazy everything is around you. Look at the depths of human cruelty. Look at what you can do to each other, how bad you can be to each other. And realize that you can never be worse than I am good. We can never be more cruel than he is merciful. We can never be too distant for him to be able to meet us. We can never be too doubtful for him to give us faith. We can never be too despairing for him to not be able to give us hope. And we can never be so hateful that he can't convert us with his love. And so, as he appeared to a Polish nun in the early part of the 20th century, to let her and through her the whole world know of his great and abiding love for us, let us be touched by that mercy. Let's not see what happened to Thomas as a cute little story in Scripture. Let's not read about what happened with St. Faustina and think, oh, that was nice for them in the early 20th century. But let's realize that the faith that God gave Thomas in the gospel is the faith he wants to give us today. And the mercy that he showed to Faustina in the last century is the mercy that he wants to envelop us and our loved ones with today. So we pray for the grace of faith like Thomas to be able to say, "My Lord and my God," when he comes to be with us in just a few moments on this altar. And when we receive him, let us realize that we are receiving mercy incarnate. Let us accept that mercy in our own lives and then become dispensers of that mercy in the lives of those we encounter.